Everyone, welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Sunday show. My name is Elisa, and
my name is Anna. Good morning.
Just in the nick
right
of time.
Sliding right in here. Oh my goodness.
So since we've changed up our schedule a bit, I'm always used to doing something on Sunday. And you're usually pretty good about it, too. I mean, obviously, you still are because you're here. But it's like that hey, are you okay?
Hey,
I don't see you in the studio.
Hey, remember? Yeah. Uh-oh. Where are you? Yeah.
So good morning, cousin.
Good morning. I've been immersed in what I call my homework. I do, I'm up fairly early, and I'm doing a lot of stuff. And I have to actually put my phone on the charger and put it on silence. I wouldn't wake everybody. So, yeah, my morning is already, I'm already going. So it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, that's the thing with you and Liz. I know that you guys are up early, and even like when Liz, when she says she's going to sleep in, that's like 7:30 or you know, seven o'clock.
Yeah.
She's sleeping in for her.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if anyone would be late, it would be me. I'm like, oh, what day is it?
Well, it's so funny because I kept watching the clock, and I had set an alarm, actually, just to be on the safe side. But yet then I had my phone on silent, so that didn't work. And so it, immediately when I looked up, it said 8:59. I was like, oh, go grab the phone. So, again, all good. I mean, that's the really cool part is Source kind of gives you a little tap. Hey.
True. Very true.
Turn in another direction right now. So, yeah. So beautiful, beautiful. I put myself outside, so I'm sitting and listening to the birds, and it's gorgeous out here. So this is a good opportunity to take a break or take a moment. I don't want to say break. Let's take a moment and just bring it into full circle and back to self. You know, back to self.
Sunday mornings are good for that. I think Sundays in general, but I think anytime you have a moment in the morning, any morning, but really Sunday or Saturday morning is always nice just to be still when not everyone is out. And that's my dad always preferred, he still does, wakes up really early, like 4 o'clock early. And he's been retired for almost 20 years now. So he's been retired, and he's like, no, it's just a habit. He does that, and he gets so much done. I remember when he was working, he always preferred that earlier shift because he'd be done at like 3 or 4, and he had the rest of the day. Not that he was up late, because of course he was up early. So he just liked it because it was quiet enough and still enough. And like a sort of an undisturbed morning, and he got to do what he wanted to do and not try to play catch up with anything else that happened to interrupt him. And as I'm getting older, I'm the same thing. My alarm always goes off at certain times. I have like a few alarms. I'm like that typical person. Like I have like 27 alarms on my iPhone, you know, for certain days, and some of it's every day. And just in case I need to get up, and I'm like, I need to probably clear those out. Every so often I'll clear them out so I'm down to maybe, you know, 6 alarms. But I get it now. And even yesterday, one of my old friends, she's a chiropractor in Seattle. So if you happen to be in Seattle, she runs the West Seattle, I guess it's West Seattle Chiropractic Clinic. She's in town for a conference from one of her mentors, and we ended up meeting. I picked her up from the MARTA station Friday afternoon, She joined us for dinner, my aunt's birthday. And then she hadn't made any arrangements on where to stay, or she hadn't finalized her reservations or anything like that. And the conference was at the hotel near the airport. So I said, well, you know, we're sort of under renovation here, but also you have to be there early, so you may as well just stay at the hotel. She's like, yeah. So we set it up online, and I drive her down there Friday night. And we end up talking, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm like, oh, I should probably, like, let me go pee. And she looks at the clock, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And she said, well, I didn't realize it was so late, like we tend to do. And so I decided I really didn't want to drive. So she had two beds in the hotel room, so I went to sleep. And I said, well, my alarm is going to go off in 3 hours. So I'll just take a little nap, and then I'll be out of your hair. Of course, my alarm goes off, but and then it goes off again in another, like at 7. So at 7:30, she's finally awake and talking, and we're talking for another hour and 15 minutes, and by then, it's 8:45. She thinks her conference starts at 9 downstairs. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I really need to go. And I love that. I love that we can talk, but we totally lose track of time. And then, so the whole day yesterday, like I get home, I make a little stop at Starbucks I actually stopped in and had a little sandwich and had my coffee, and it wasn't crazy busy, which is nice because normally it was still really early, I guess. I just enjoyed that morning, and then I finally got home, and then I'm tired. I think I slept the rest of the day. And I had to force myself to go back to sleep relatively early last night so I wouldn't pull the same thing. But I'm still doing this early morning. Like, I'm up. I was up early. I was and I just tend to, you know, waste time on my phone, or I was listening to a meditation actually last night. So it's nice to get into that groove, but I feel like that's what my body likes to do. Would prefer not to stay up late, or if I am, I'm taking a nap at some point. But you're much more disciplined. You're much more disciplined. Like you are like my dad. Like I think most other Bengalans, like they like to get up really early, and they do their thing. But I have a little bit of my mom in me where, oh, it's only 2 o'clock in the morning. I can probably, you know, read one more chapter and then, you know, maybe watch a TV episode. And you know, I'm still trying to figure that part out. But I do like that there's that morning, that early morning where it really is quiet and peaceful. And that's something that I don't get to see a lot because I live on a very busy road. So even when the road isn't busy, that's super nice because I can hear it. So, you don't appreciate what you have until you don't have it. And so living where I was before, kind of tucked away, we were kind of close to an interstate. Or a pretty busy highway, but we were tucked away in our neighborhood. So even the difference of a street is tremendous. So I'm trying to make it a mental note, like, yeah, I'm
well, it's that workshop, right? It's taking what you like from a situation and leaving the rest. And I think that's important for us to go throughout, you know, really go throughout our day and do that. It's like when you're in a situation, what can I glean from this situation and what can I experience? You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, it's, we all have, I don't want to call them schedules. I don't live by a schedule per se. I live by what inspire action needs to be done, what thing that I'm into, what I'm handling. And one of the things that I'm working on now, obviously, is growing me. growing me mentally and spiritually and emotionally, and growing me in a different way financially. And this has been something that I kind of put on the wayside for because I feel very blessed in that when I feel like I want something or I need something, the means show up, the opportunity shows up, the money shows up, the people show up, whatever shows up, and it happens. And so what I've been looking at now is legacy. And what I've been looking at now is you know, my children. And what I've been looking at now is family, looking at how to secure that for their future. Not that they not to enable them, but to enhance them and enrich them. And for them to be a part of it. I think even, you know, Jade and I were talking yesterday and we were talking about credit. I mean, sounds interesting that you go, you know, we're talking about all these things, but, and I think that it, for me early in the morning, I'm refreshed and I get up and, you know, this is something that Brenda and I were talking about is, you know, we're talking about the daily, we've said daily practice. So we get up in the morning and some of us may meditate. Some of us listen to audio. Some of us, you know, do something that is very introspective or very connected to spirit and source. And then most people say, okay, I'll do that and I'll do that for an hour. Let's just schedule that in. And then we move on throughout our day. Now, here's the deal. And this is something that I've been also playing with is infusing that throughout your day, infusing spirit throughout your day and everything that you do, you know, and you and I are, we love great conversation with people. And it is the thing that will keep us up, you know,
just a little bit,
three or four
yeah.
or five in the morning, or just don't go to sleep or, and you get caught up and there is no time. There is no sense of time and mm-hmm. you're immersed in this very wonderful, delicious conversation. And so something that I've just wanting to be very aware of is
even my cat likes the conversation.
Yeah, she's wanting to converse as well. Is taking the energy, whatever time that you do, whatever your spiritual practice is or whatever you think about the spirit, God, universe, source. I mean, obviously if you're listening to the show, you're connected to your source in some form or fashion, and using that all the time, using that throughout the day, you've become very aware of the I don't want to say it's power, your energy, whatever that, like check in with that. Mm-hmm. Whether you consciously check in with it. I mean, I know there was I was listening to somebody that said, you know, take 5 minutes out of every hour or, you know, so there you are scheduling it again. And mm-hmm. what if we infuse everything that we do with this energy? What if we go about our day with this energy? And I know, again, people, you know, having these conversations with people, and people are like, well, there are things that are going to happen in your life, and you're going to be sad, and you're going to be angry, mad. It's okay. Acknowledge it. And still, live in spirit. Live inspired. So when you can take anything and become inspired, I was very blessed yesterday to, you know, obviously spend a lot of time with my kids. At the same time, was invited to a friend, and I say new friend because I've really only known this person for less than 6 months. And she was having a gathering, a barbecue of sorts. It was a potluck, and everybody come over and, you know, bring the kids. And Steph, you know, Steph went along. She met us over there. And it was nice that it was this gathering of women who we started to have this conversation. And I was in observation mode, and there were times where I was stepping out because sometimes social events with Steph, they're easy and they're not easy. You know, I very much love her, and I very much want to have that connection with her. And then there are things about us that are strained, so it's not easy to always be right there. So I step out and I go see the kids or go play with the kids. And, you know, we got some lawn darts, so we were doing that. And I was talking to them, and then I come up and got to get into this conversation. And we did. We started talking about, started having conversation about all types of relationships, all types of things. So it was starting to get very philosophical. And so it ended up being that Stephanie had asked some questions of the group. And then as it progressed, it kind of, the beans got spilled. You know, we're newly separated. They're actually moving out of our home. And so, you know, Steph got up and walked out and not, you know, and they're all looking at me and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, you know, and I explained the situation. I said, here's what's going on in a nutshell. You know, we're not going to throw everything out there, but here's what's going on in a nutshell. And so, because they're all like, we, you guys are so in love, we need to fix this, you know. And it's like, you know, we do love each other and we do care for each other. And that's, it's very apparent that that's true. And there are some things that just need to be worked on within each of us that are important. I recognize it. She recognizes it. So this is what we're doing. And so, I chatted with a few, you know, because one, there's another woman that's like, no, this is not, you know, and I'm like, yes, it's not your job to fix this, and it's not going to be fixed in one afternoon, you know. So really talking about, you know, the idea of love and how you love someone and what would, and again, of course, my theme, right, what would love do comes up, and we were talking about all these things, and everybody's, you know, just the very sharing and loving energy. And I thought that was just so wonderful. And that, and even, you know, later I went and chatted, she was talking with another mutual friend in another room. And I went in there to see if she was okay. And she's like, you know, just had a moment. It's like, yes, I've had several of those moments. And, you know, we hugged each other and said, you know, it's all good. And it's all good. I mean, we just acknowledge that with each other. And so I love that the whole, you know, when I talk about spirit and holding space and being in that space of emotion, I mean, know what I felt about it was so positive. You know what I'm saying? Like, because before it could have gotten not so good, you know, mm-hmm. and things might have, mm-hmm. you know, gotten a little pissy, basically, for lack of a better word. And I felt like that because we've been doing some work, that, you know, the energy was held and that we really, I mean, in that time, I just had to suck it in and say, you know, let go. Again, I said that out loud. I said, let go, let God. I mean, you've got to let go, and you've just got to know that things are working out the way they're supposed to be working out. Things are happening the way that they're supposed to be happening. People are taking their actions. You're taking your actions. You're doing your things. And how do we do this in spirit, inspired? And that's constantly now, you know, all the, you know, like Liz says, ease and grace. And she has another one that she uses too. I say ease and grace. She has another one that she uses. And then we talk about, you know, faith, trust, and pixie dust. I mean, there's all these little terms that you, that just go on in your head. And I believe that when we live inspired or in spirit consciously, that eventually on a cellular level, things will start shifting and changing and clicking in, so that as we, you know, we're doing our mantras, we're doing our affirmations, you know, we're doing our work, basically, that it becomes part of you. It becomes natural. It becomes a natural way of being. And, you know, for the most part, I think I feel like I'm moving in that direction. You know, I certainly have my moments. And then, you know, I ask the question, you know, what would love do? I ask the question, how am I inspired in this moment? How do I live in spirit? How do I be for the highest and greatest good of not only myself, but those around me? Because this is internal, everything's internal. I mean, it's all our internal work, right? So to me, that's what the importance of being in your present right now, in your, you know, being aware right now. I think I was reading something in one of my coaching groups this morning, and this woman said she realized that she had been living in fear of repeating something that happened to her several years ago, where she lost everything and had to raise her three daughters on her own. And, you know, she was just going into a little bit of the story only to share with us what she had moved through, because she said, she's going through this program to be able to release some of that. And she was walking down, taking a walk, and she walked down, and wherever she's at, it's fall. So she took a picture of these leaves.
Like, yeah. Southern hemisphere. So
Yeah. And she said, I took a picture of this because immediately when I looked at it, I got the message to release and to let go, much like those leaves were about to release and let go from the tree. And she said it was huge. And she took a picture and she posted the picture in our group. And she said, this was huge for me because it really reminded me that it was time to release my story and let go of what's not serving me. And it was amazing because she got so much feedback, and I feedback too, because I said, recognize that the picture that you took, or the moment that you looked up, it's your inner wisdom, your higher self, that's bringing you to that picture, that's enabling you to have that conclusion or that present moment of release and let go. It's you that are doing it, you that are creating it. And I thought, that's just magnificent when you get the messages from nature, when you get the messages from just being in a state of receiving, in a state of allowing yourself to receive whatever that is, because you're, some of us are looking for answers for specific things. And when we keep looking, we don't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the moment we let go of it that here come all the answers. Here comes the situations. Here come the people. Here comes everything now that you have created in this experience for you to become more.
Right.
So,
the image I got there was that when we say we're looking for the answer, we kind of have an idea in mind. And so that kind of takes the place.
Mm-hmm.
So you're holding your hand in a way that's like kind of gripping whatever you think the answer ought to be, kind of hoping, looking at that hand, hoping something will show up that looks just like it. So that way I know it's the answer, what I was looking for, and it's still an empty hand, right? So you end up looking at that. Whereas, you know, feeling like when you let go, then that hand is open. Literally, it's you let go. That hand is open, and we talked about this on Thursday's show for the some of you about being receptive, about receiving and being able to receive information versus always looking for the information. So allowing it to come to you and having that, it's such a subtle thing to be open to some different possibilities and to be able to receive whatever those possibilities are and then make a decision based on, you know, what actually fits. Versus what you think ought to fit and what you think ought to come to you, and then realize it's kind of negating everything that has come by your way because it doesn't quite fit, because that's not what I was looking for. But energetically, all those things could have fit. All those things could have been an answer. It's a very subtle nuance with understanding not just, you know, what comes to you, but really what is it about you? Like, what is it? Who are you? And knowing who you are helps kind of change up some of these filters, you know, versus, you know, who you were told you're supposed to be growing up, who you were told you're supposed to be when you are in a relationship, you know, with the significant other, you know. And so there are things that just shift very slightly, like the way you talk to a friend may be very different to how you talk to a family member that you're not that close to. And so there's so much more, like with a true friendship, it's just really easy. And you can be friends with your family members. You can be friends with your partner. There's a real ease in a friendship that is sort of, you know, it's unattached to any particular outcome. It's an allowing of each person to be, you know, him or herself, and that's fine. You know, there's not like, oh, yeah, you're my friend, but come on, you know, you're also my girlfriend. You're supposed to be able to do this. You're supposed to be.
Right. Supposed
whatever,
to,
whatever,
yeah.
Whatever, whatever.
Right.
Ends up being the downfall of these crazy expectations. So while you may think that's a good ideal, are you actually looking at who this person is, what this person is going through, or who this person is right now? And it could have been a childhood friend, and you know, she never gets a second cup of coffee at home. You know, maybe, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon.
What's wrong with me? She never gets a second cup of coffee at home. Right. When it has nothing to do with you, right? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You're kind of, and for someone like me, I'm so used to different patterns. That it can be, and I'm a Taurus, so I like the patterns. You know, there's a comfort in feeling like, okay, I kind of know what's going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, I'm like, whoa, I'm blindsided. Like, no, you just were so narrow-minded in what you thought was supposed to happen that there was no possibility of a better, mm-hmm. like maybe something better happening, or, you know, not that it has to be
right.
worse because it didn't follow what you were, the trajectory you were expecting. But,
right.
So you know, plenty of times I've stumbled over all of that, and it's been, in the beginning, uncomfortably eye-opening, and then after a while, I'm like, oh, okay, so let me just ease up on everything, on the other person, on the situation, on myself,
right.
And it helps to put those things in perspective, because to carry that hurt from the incident, because for me it would be an incident, now it's an incident, right, it's an incident report, that it didn't happen the way it was supposed to happen in my head,
right.
therefore
mm-hmm.
it's all your fault, and it just takes a lot to carry that. It takes a lot to not see someone lovingly. It really does, because it means that you also bury or hide a part of yourself,
mm-hmm.
that is that compassionate part that
right.
normally can,
mm-hmm.
can see a puppy or a kitten or a little baby or just a little kid, and it's just like, oh, you know, and they don't have to
mm-hmm.
do anything for you. They just have to be. Like, I can look at YouTube videos of kittens, and I'm like, they're kittens, you know. And then you can finally meet a kitten that maybe has really sharp claws, you know, already, very developed
mm.
sharp claws. And you're like, well, not so cute anymore. You just, you know, scratch my arm up. But in the initial beginning, you know, the beginning thing, it's like, oh, you know, you give that kitten the benefit of the doubt. Cute kitten.
Right.
Tiny, you know, little pinpricky,
right.
Claws, but nothing too damaging. So you're good.
Right.
I will say this. We do have a caller, and I know who it is. It's our friend Jay. So I thought I'd, you know, he's been on hold for a little bit, and we hadn't heard from him in a while. So I thought I'd include him in the conversation and
oh,
see
sure.
what's what. Is that good?
Sure.
I'm sure we can get onto our flow. No problem. So good morning, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Morning. How's it going?
It's going well. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's it going with
What's
you?
Up?
Oh, it's been calming down a little bit better, so it's, yeah.
So, I mean, we haven't really had a chance to chat, you know, and Liz, usually you call in on our show, it was a Son of You show on Sundays, and I know you work during the week, so I think
yeah.
the last time we actually chatted was maybe a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe. And you had a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff happening, like with work, and then I think Mother's Day was coming around, and so I mean, you don't have to talk about any of that stuff, but just, you know, just checking in. If you're calling and you raise your hand, I thought I'd just check in and see how you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for doing it. So, you know, I'm still, you know, like I said, still on a journey and just taking life a little bit better, and just right now, just exploring, you know, friendships and relationships and. Yeah, I'm just doing that. So, and
that's
going
huge.
Out today. Pardon me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's huge. We're all kind of exploring that, even if it's not something new. We're just like, well, what does that mean? You know, what does this relationship mean? That's a big theme on this radio station, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And,
well, here's the energy of the world right now is sort of in this really interesting flux. And so, relationships that could be friendships, intimate relationships, even business relationships and things like that, they're all being looked at in a different way, in a different perspective, and it's the energy of the world that this is happening right now. So it's taking care of how we are mindfully having conversations or mindfully working side by side with someone, or mindfully just saying hello to a parent or brother, sister, mother, father, you know, son, daughter, aunt, uncle, any of those things. It's our mindfulness in that. When we, you know, and you don't have to. I just feel like if you're hanging with this station and you're listening and stuff like that, this is the kind of energy that you either are exuding or you are striving to exude. And I believe that energy of mindfulness and in interaction, again, not reactivity, because that's one of my big things. It's we are the energy of this planet right now is about reactivity, or it could allow a lot of reactivity. Okay, I'm going to say that. So when we choose to be mindful and interactive versus reactive, then when we can interact versus react, we hold the vibration of love and joy and hopefulness and peace and all of those vibrations. And what happens in that relationship, whatever relationship it is, it's either going to harmonize, that's the word that I'm using now, is harmonize, because we do a flux, the highs and lows, right? We harmonize in that relationship or relationships, or it dissipates as a relationship. So this is sort of the energy in the, you know, and of course, this is based somewhat on what's happening in my life and happening in a lot of other people's lives, but it's based on external conversations and the overall, there's so much, like when you listen to, you know, scientists and you listen to coaches and you listen to people that are in the metaphysical realm and what's happening and what's, you know, I'll throw Greg Braden's name out there, for example. If you listen to some of the stuff he talks about, it's amazing how when things are going on in your life and you listen to someone who's kind of in the flux between science and metaphysics, and I'm listening to him and it's like, oh yeah, right. You know, like, not that he has all the answers, and yet he claims he's an optimist and a realist, and he's a scientist, so he's got that label on him, and he broaches the metaphysical world in such an amazing way, you know? So, I have been listening to a lot of him, and there's a couple other people that I've been listening to lately that, you know, just wanting an understanding of the flux of energy that's happening in the world right now. So I didn't mean to cut you off there, Jay. I just want to kind of throw that little energetic nugget out there that that I believe we can chew on a little bit. I mean, I know I'm chewing on it. So it is. It's how do we mindfully interact in our own little world versus react in our own little world. You know, good. I think it's a good question for all of us to think about.
Yeah, it is. I find that for me right now, it's just exploring, just getting more settled down, and I think I'm just you know, distancing myself away from my family right now. Actually quite a bit, and I'm just actually been this a lot better, actually. I was actually listening to some other people who have some issues with their parents and stuff like that, and it's a really interesting time, you know, as in terms of, you know, how they're relating to their parents and things like that. I just find that, I don't know, just for me, for myself, I just, because you know, the path that I've taken is that it's just, I know, it's like deer in the headlights for me relating to my parents about different things. I really can't say that I can't talk about things. And, you know, they're on their own path and I'm on my own path. So we just really can't talk about things on, not a spiritual basis, but get excited about things that they don't understand. So, but, yeah, it's kind of difficult, so.
I felt it was a little strained between me and my mother for a number of years. And it's mostly just by the way our family pattern was back in the day was basically, you know, you just don't talk about it. You don't talk about it, whatever it is. You don't say anything. And sort of that cold shoulder treatment is how you know that you're in the doghouse. But then you also didn't have any skills to say, well, how do we talk about it? Because we never talked about it. There was never any real resolution. It's just, yeah, it's just a matter of time, and you kind of tiptoe. And then at some point, there's a gesture where, well, now we can maybe talk about the weather, you know, something like that. And then it's okay. And I know this was, I think it was eye-opening to me that not everyone went through that. So, like, it was eye-opening to me that not everybody had fried rice and fried eggs for breakfast every morning, you know, as a kid, because that's what we had. And, you know, it's like that it was such a part of my everyday life that was the ebb and flow of how our family dynamics were, where we just didn't talk about anything. If it was a bad subject or if someone made someone else mad, we just didn't talk. So it took, you know, from that family upbringing to now, it's taken a long time to figure out ways to express, you know, either whatever it is, whether, you know, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'm proud of you for making straight A's, or, you know, I'm happy for this. But the really touchy-feely stuff, we didn't really do. And I think it started in my mid-20s being able to say, I love you. Like, I would start saying I love you to them after a phone conversation or at the end of a phone conversation because my workmates were doing that. I hear them, these people I shared an office with, and they're on the phone with people, and I'm thinking, she must be talking to her boyfriend. And she's like, no, that was my parents. I'm like, really? It was so odd to me. Really? You tell them, you say I love you at every conversation. She said, of course. So I tried it, and there was like the silence, like, ooh, what do we do with that? But I kept doing it, in person when I would see them. But it was just, so it was just trying something new, because ultimately I knew that's what I wanted to be able to. I wanted to have a freer way of expressing, whether it was, joy or gratitude or love or disappointment or fear. I'm afraid of whatever. There's just things that I wanted to be able to have all those kinds of conversations with them, because they're my parents, or they're my family members. And I think it took a while for me to just get over my own fears of, wow, this is all really, new, uncharted territory for me. So with my mom in particular, because she's such a powerful figure in our family, I think in most families, the mom is the one that if she's not happy, no one's happy. So finding ways a lot of it's like trying different ways of doing things. And, even if she rejected every single one for the next 3 or 4 years, I'm like, well, we're still here, so I'm still going to keep trying. And half the time it wasn't about me, doing stuff, but it's just being receptive, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, just being receptive. I mean, I can't make her be receptive, but I knew when there were certain triggers for her that I would do, that, I mean, they were definitely triggers for her. Like, don't take away any of her stuff. My mom's basically a hoarder. Don't talk about her cleaning out her stuff. It's stuff for her. Stuff for us is like junk. As my dad, someone's junk. I'm like, yeah, but for my mom, that's all stuff that's important to her for whatever reason. Can't figure that one out. But it's just like meeting her where she was. And so it wasn't this grand expectation of, oh, Alisa, I love you, and which she does do now. But it's not like this. It wasn't like this crazy, crazy warm fuzzy, but it was over the course of the last, say 10 years or so, from where she didn't even want to visit. She didn't want to acknowledge that, pretty much she didn't want to acknowledge that I was gay. She didn't want to talk about anything, any of my relationships. It's like if we didn't talk about it, then it wasn't true, So we just didn't, she never asked. My dad would ask. my dad would, sort of say, oh, how's that going? It was not something like I talked to, Anna's my cousin, obviously, and her parents are like super cool about everything. And I'm like, wow, I wish my parents could be like that. I wish I could get that kind of response from my parents, but that's not how they're wired. It just takes a little bit of time to figure out. They're like little puzzles I have to figure out. And sometimes the puzzle, it isn't about me manipulating those pieces. It's about sometimes just letting things shake out. And then you get to see what you're working with. And some of it's like, it's not going to be me making those ultimate decisions. I have to feel good about the time I get to spend. Like, you've heard me talk about when I come out from my cruises, and this is, me having to spend, a certain amount of time in a very limited space. I mean, it's a big ship, but I'm going to see them every day. It's like living in the same house, but a really big house. And so it really did change the dynamics. And every trip, it's gotten better. I still lose it because maybe that's how it's supposed to be. I still lose it sometimes with her. I lose my patience because she'll just make some decisions that have continued to plague her, like losing her luggage and not packing anything practical. Things like that. Like, how many times have we gone on these cruises and you still seem to pack books and shoes in your carry-on and nothing else that can help you if you don't have your luggage? But, it's gotten so much better. And I think I had to, like Anna said, you just kind of have to not look for these answers that show up all the time, but really, I don't know if you can enjoy it in the beginning, but just observe how it unfolds. They're showing me like the whole thing of the power of now with Eckhart Tolle, and sometimes you're like, I can't listen to him because I'll fall asleep. But the way of being the observer, so you're not involved in all of it so much emotionally that you can't always see what's happening. But seeing how, like for me, seeing how certain triggers were for my mom and deciding, well, I'm not going to poke that anymore. I'm not going to start doing that, even if I feel justified in bringing it up. It doesn't end well. It doesn't serve any purpose but to serve a bigger separation for a little bit of time. So I'm like, let me just not play that game anymore. I have to stop doing it. I have to stop engaging in it. And it turned the corner. It took a while to turn that corner, but I feel like she's not looking at me. I don't know. I don't feel like there's all the ton of expectations that are just unrealistic. And if they are, I tell her. And then she knows to back down, or she at least receives the information and she chooses to do what she needs to do. But it's been a very interesting road because I don't think I had that kind of voice before with them. And when I would, it would be out of pure anger. And then, of course, I feel miserable afterwards because while I wanted to express the anger and sort of say, you know, we're reaching some boundaries here that I don't appreciate. I had to be able to do it in a way that wouldn't also feel like I was like, oh, let me just put some more kerosene on this bridge and I'm this close to lighting the match and I'm just going to, you know, oh, I could toss it very easily. Because I knew that's not what I wanted to do with my parents. But I just had to figure out ways. And when I say parents, it's really my mom. I was surprisingly, I'm acknowledging that it's this connection with my dad that I've always had that I don't think I've appreciated or knew that was probably, he was probably the parent I had this contract with, you know, coming into this world. Like, you know, I always thought it was my mom, but I think it was with my dad. Mm. Like that's the parent.
Lisa, you know what's interesting, once you really listen to your mom and observe your mom is she has such mega paradigms that she's holding on to from when she was a child. And this is the thing with, you know, when Elise is talking, and I didn't ever really realize this because I actually honestly didn't always have conversation with her mother. We grew up as all the kids together. We all grew up together. We were all thrown in a big pile. And so we had aunts and uncles and grandparents and everything roaming around us at the same time. As I've gotten older, obviously I've had a few conversations with your mother, and some of those I was really taken aback at because your mother does have a way of saying things that could offend anyone. And it's so interesting how it kind of takes you at first and then you realize because, you know, as we did grow up with her, right? She's my aunt. And it's like, I understand where she's coming from because as a child and how she, I know you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about. So as a child, you know, your mom was raised in a family that admired her. Your mom is a beautiful person. And if you see any of her pictures when she was even younger, just exquisitely beautiful woman. And so this beauty, I'm sure, was admired, and this beauty was also encouraged, and this beauty was also told that this is, you know, this is who you are. And so a lot of her wanting you, me, many other people to be a certain way, to look a certain way, to express ourselves a certain way. You know, it's interesting when you have a conversation with her and you got to love her. I mean, you just got to hug her and love her and say, you know, bless you. And yes, you know, I thought briefly about changing, you know, changing this thing that you're telling me to change. And for those who have not met me, I have a huge birthmark on my nose. It's a big red patch and I wear glasses. So I've worn glasses since the fourth grade. Well, I didn't. When I went into it's so funny because I don't remember. I don't think about it anymore unless I've had one or two really good cocktails. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, so and it's funny to me going, wow, you got that big red thing on your nose. No, so, you know, I've had a couple of different conversations with her mom, but one of the big ones I had recently was her just looking at me and just saying, you can have that taken care of.
Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. I had to smile at her and just say, you know, just really say I love you because it's like, you know, it's not bothering me, honey. I mean, you know, it's not bothering me. And if it bothers you, you don't have to look at it. So,
right.
So it's, But I know she means well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that when she says that, because she genuinely cares about my well-being. You know, she genuinely cares about my well-being. And so I put a spin on it. It's like, I love you, and thank you so much for caring about my well-being. And maybe at some point I'll look into it. Right now, I just don't feel the need to do that, you know. So, and just if you could do that, and we're giggling because her mom has all kinds of funny little antidotes and things that she says that we're all,
oh my
we
gosh.
Look at each other and go, wow, okay. So, and the fact that we can laugh about it, it's kind of funny. But, you know, and again, Jay, you know, you talk about your parents, it's just that. It's like, just, you know, if you can just take a moment and appreciate them for who they are in that moment and know that, you know, even though you're on your journey and it's different. It's very, very different. I mean, I'm very fortunate that my father, first of all, he listens to these shows. So love you, Dad. And he gets energy. He gets, you know, he gets the love. He gets the way of being. He gets all that, and I love that about him. And of course, our fathers, our brothers. So there's that. There's got to be that connection. And your dad is. I heard Elisa's dad is one of the funniest, corniest guys I know, and he is just. He makes you chuckle and makes you laugh, and that's how he is. It's amazing to me how, you know, we are on this journey. And you've got to bless your own journey and not be so concerned about what other people on the external are feeling about your journey and knowing. And you cannot push your agenda and your journey on someone else. I mean, I get that big time. You have your experience for your experience. You have your awarenesses for your awarenesses. This is all about you. It has nothing to do with anybody else. And then just bless those people that have brought you into this world on this planet and bless them for what they were able to glean to you, you know, whatever they were able to pass on to you that you're able to say thank you for. And then just, like I said earlier, just leave the rest. It's okay because that's all their stuff that doesn't belong to you. And once you let that go and are at peace with, you know, just at peace with them being who they are, that first of all, it all comes back to our own energy. Our energy changes, which changes the whole relationship, which changes the whole situation. And that's some powerful stuff when you know that it's, again, it's your inside work, and it doesn't apply to anyone but you. And when I say that to you, I'm saying me, I'm saying Elisa, I'm saying anybody listening, It's your work. It only belongs to you. And you're creating your work. You're creating your space. You're creating your reality. So they're there for you. They're a gift. Whatever that gift is, you know, Elisa's mom is absolutely a gift. And, you know, again, got to love her. You know, my mom was hilarious, and she would have, you know, at this point, I'm wondering, you know, where we would have been on this path if my mom were still here in the physical. I mean, my mom would have some funny little antidotes as well. And again, I would just love her.
yep.
Give me a hug. She'd give me a hug, and that would be it. So, yeah, it's like there's a gift in there somewhere, and the gift might be a timeout, you know?
Yeah, I think that's where Jay is right now, you know? I think I needed it. I needed it from because with my mom, it's like the constant critical eye of, like, that's where her eye is trained. Like, if it's a clean, supposedly clean white room, she will find the one speck of dirt and focus on that, despite the fact that the whole house is just glistening clean white. It's except for this one thing. I'm like, wow, you know, it's amazing. She has that. It's like a curse and a gift to find that one flaw that just ruins the whole thing, you know, for her. It ruins it. So, and that's like a pretty big superpower to kind of overcome. Because, and I think my people are kind of playing along with me because they're showing me the eye of Sauron, you know, kind of zooming on you. I'm like, yeah, that's sort of how it felt sometimes. But I would say the gift in that is to, like, Anna, you figure out ways to turn that around, and you get it, and you have a beautiful way of transforming stuff that to me, I'm like, I got my hackles up. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to, you know, let me just say something equally nasty and hurtful and see how that feels. And then I'm like, well, like I've done this before. I have two older brothers. I've done this before. It never ends well. Everyone's in, you know, not everyone's in tears. I'm usually a wreck afterwards because that's not really, like, I just wanted you to leave me alone. Like, I didn't want you to even notice any of it. So I had to figure out ways to transform the information that I was receiving and not take it personally, or to not turn it into more ammunition to throw back at some point.
Yeah.
Like that's a tough part, but it is a gift to be able to do that, because then you realize it is really not me. You know, like there's something, like for you, it's a birthmark. You know, you were born with that, and I don't even notice it. Honestly, I don't even notice it half the time.
Yeah,
like,
people who know me don't.
I'm
really,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, what? Oh yeah, you know,
they say,
I forgot. Right.
Yeah.
Like I have a brother who has a really large birthmark. It's a big mole, and I don't know if she's ever told him maybe you should get it removed. I don't know, but I don't. But that's how she describes her. She talks about her kids. Can only imagine the description she uses. You know, the one that has a really long hair. By the way, that's not me. There's, you know, the one with the mole. That's my brother. And I don't know how she describes me. She's a big girl. It's probably how she describes me. So you know, it's like, you know, just I have to roll my eyes. So I just kind of leave it. I'm like, well, you know, this is how I knew her filter was a certain way. And there isn't too much I can do to change her filter, but I can show up as me. And
that's what you can do.
Right. That I can do. And I think she can see how other people interact with me. They don't see the same things that she sees. You know, they don't focus only on the flaws. And I think that's good to have that kind of environment, which is partly why, like, it took a while for me to, you know, to be okay. Like, when we first started traveling together, I was doing it because Dad asked me to. He's like, please come on this trip. Please help us. And I'm like, okay, but, you know, every gray hair I have, I think it's because of Mom. You know, I'm just through this our conversations. And he's like, no, it'll be okay. But I do have a good time, obviously, for the most part. You know, like, I have a better time because I keep coming back. I have a better time than I have a horrible time. And part of it is because I have to be able to turn that corner, and, you know, but I get it, Jay, because there's a long period of time where I didn't want to engage. I didn't bother calling the house, and she never called me. She still really doesn't ever call me, you know. But I needed to be away from that, maybe that constant eye of Sauron. You know, I don't need her. I didn't need that criticism. So I needed to not focus on it. And, but eventually we are back on our, I feel, good terms. I had a great way of spending Mother's Day with her. So, but it's time. And like Anna said, hey, that gift that is right now is just for you getting your own space and appreciating, you know, what you've created and how you are with other people who are not your family and people who do get you. Everybody needs that. Everybody needs to have that, you know, that group or tribe or, you know, your created family of people who really get you or who appreciate you and think you're amazing. And, you know, people who can be good friends without these crazy expectations of, you know, you have to be the son or whatever. It helps. It helps a lot. But like everything, these situations, these relationships are temporary in what they do, in the many purposes they serve. So I'm thinking about you. I know that it's not been an easy time, and that it is something that you've been wanting to try to fix or smooth out, not fix. Not broken necessarily, but you know, you do want something. You want a better relationship, a better understanding, and them have a better understanding of who you are now. And you know, you're giving yourself the space to do it. So it will definitely. I think it'll definitely all work out. Just you know, we have a different time frame.
Yeah, see, everyone's on their own path and going through their own journey. So. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see what similarities I can take from there and and wisdom too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Well, we do think about you, Jay. You're like part of the family here too, so we get it. We get it. And mother relationships are not always easy. Understatement of the year. But yeah, they're not always easy. I think for everybody on the show, there's like something with, my mom, or usually it's the mother, because I think she's such a big archetype in the family, and that's where we get a lot of our sensitivity from, usually, like that mothering, that caring, that nurturing aspect, unless she wasn't very nurturing, caring in those ways, and then you're like, whoa, where did that come from? Somebody fills in that role somehow. In some way. But anyway, well, good luck to you, Jay, and it's good to always hear from you. And I know we'll hear back from you at some point, and, you know, there'll be something else that you'll be like, oh, and this is going on too, like, you know, successful drumming classes and whatnot, and, you know, something else with yoga.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Well, good to hear from you, Jay. Love you.
Love you both. Thank you.
Love you too. All right.
Take care.
Oh. Do. Yeah.
When we try to push our ideas or our journey on someone else, that's just, and they're not receiving it the way we kind of expect them to receive it. And I think there's a huge difference in how you can go about being on your journey. And it really, that's it. That's the answer right there, is be on your journey. Be an example. Show them that you are this happy, joyous person on your journey. I know that's, you know, where I'm shifting, and I keep shifting and moving in that direction. And it's, you can't force anybody to be on your journey with you. You can't force anybody. And I think, like you said something earlier, like now it's about speaking up when something doesn't really feel great for you.
Mm-hmm.
Move in the direction that feels good. And sometimes you're not going to be able to make everybody happy. You're going to disappoint, and it's okay. That's part of the journey, you know. And we're having these conversations, and people are sharing their what's going on in their lives. It's, there's huge ahas, because it's like, you know, for me, you know, I've been, you know, pivot shift, and it's like, why can't this happen? Why can't that happen? You know, and then it's like, whoa, wait a second, and. Again, I appreciate, I keep going back to the appreciation of Stephanie, because it's taking a really strong person to hold up a mirror for me and saying, look here, look within, what do you want? What is it you truly want? You know, whether she is, I don't know that she's intentionally doing that, but that's exactly what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's making me very aware of what I've been, was it putting up with, what I've been working with, what I've been co-creating or not co-creating with, how I've been experiencing life or not experiencing life. Have I been happy? Have I been content? Have I been tolerating? Have I been sharing? Have I been caring? Have I been selfish? So there are all these things that are coming up. And when we can look at ourselves and say, you know, how are we being in this moment? How is our energy being in this moment? Is our energy being needy? Is it being helpful? Is it being concerned, compassionate, happy, joyful? Those are all things that, you know, we as humans, it's sharing that perspective. You know, when we've got people in our lives to hold that up for us and say, you know, in a way that, and when I say that, I mean, you hold it up because this is coming at you and it's like, whoa, what's going on? You know, how can I pivot shift this? Am I avoiding? There's a good one. Am I avoiding something? So,
yeah.
You know, how big is that? And being honest and truthful about how you feel and how things are. Because you know what? Even though verbally we might not say something, energetically we say it all. So remember that. Remember that. Energetically we say it all. And that goes with our business relationships, significant others, friends, children, parents, everybody. Because when we resist something, it will persist. And we're pushing up against, a lot of times when we want somebody to agree with us, we're pushing them up against, we're pushing right up against them. And that doesn't feel so good to them, even though we're like, see my point of view. No.
Right. You can't make me.
Yeah. You can't make me. I'm not going to do it. You know, and sometimes it has the total and opposite reaction that you want it to have. So it's a lesson, you know, those are lessons, if you will, or gifts, if you will. If we can pay attention to that, you know, what kind of relationship are we having with our parents or parents? Is it something that's beneficial to us? Is it something that we can easily have this conversation? Like you said, it was a process for you. And so it's a process. And how can I be present with them now in a space of love that is beneficial for all of us, you know? Even
right.
if I don't see them. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I know we're wrapping it up here on the hour.
Yes.
So
thanks for people who are listening in. We all have people who are listening in on the phone, and you know, no hands raised. That's fine. I know who you are, so it's good to see you. Hope everyone's doing a good day, whether it's Sunday or Monday or Saturday, who knows what day. Make up a day, but I hope you guys are doing well. And this is just our little Sunday show. But Anna, it's like I haven't seen you in what, 4 days or whatever, 5 days.
Yeah, it's been really a while. It's been a while for us. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I miss my cousin. So you know, maybe, and this is sort of like housekeeping, literally housekeeping. Maybe I can come over and do laundry at some point, but and see you and see the kids. But it's good to. It's always good to hang out and spend some time with you. And you gave me some aha moments just talking about, you know, your perspective of my mom, and some of the things that I'm like, oh yeah, you know, that is important. But it's interesting, and we will wrap up in a moment, because you know, my mom is a beautiful woman and was a beautiful woman, especially when she was younger. But she never felt like she was beautiful enough.
Enough.
She never.
Yeah.
Yeah, she never felt like the favored daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the favored, and there was she comes from a very big family. So she did not get along well with her father because she felt her father favored another, like the oldest daughter. And so a little jaded from that. and so that's an interesting dynamic because, you know, she doesn't want that to fall on her kids, although she tends to be the one that ends up instigating it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, I'm
she,
the critical eye, you know?
Yeah. How can I make your life better? I mean, really is what she's saying.
Right.
I see that
right.
within her. How can I make your life better? I'm going to suggest things to you to make your life better. And
right.
in that we perceive it as, it could be perceived as something hurtful, or you're telling me that I'm not good enough, or I'm, you know, so all of that could come into play. You have
mm-hmm.
a choice as to how you want to take it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's exactly what happened with her, whether her father said that to her or not. That's how she took it.
That's how she took it. Yeah.
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 So anyway, yeah, we'll talk more about that off air.
Yeah.
Or we'll call it the Clarabelle show. I don't know. We'll call it something different. But anyway, would you want to wrap it up?
We can. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Universal Energy Radio. We are starting to fill the slots. I love this. So, of course, the Some of You show will be on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We've got Leona and Friends on Wednesday. I think it's at 11 or 12 in the Eastern time, in the middle of the afternoon. And then, of course, my show Friday, What Would Love Do? Please join me and jump in on the conversation. I love that. I love these conversations. I think they're fantastic. And but yes, like us on Facebook if you haven't. We'll start posting more stuff there. And we appreciate you all very much. You're so infinitely loved. Remember that life is your journey. Be happy where you are and watch where it takes you. We'll talk to you soon. Love, love.
All right. Love you.